Welcome to Hey YA Extra Credit. Every other week opposite the main Hey YA podcast, we'll bring you a short form podcast of YA talk across a wide range of topics. I'm Erica Ezzafetti, and today I'm going to be talking about new historical fiction, but I also wanted to make a little time to talk about a book that came out yesterday that I'm excited about. It's called Out of Body by Nia Davenport, and it's kind of like got a lot going on in the best kind of way. So I'll get into that and more right after we hear from our sponsor. Today's episode is brought to you by Bloom Books. Charming, easygoing, and rich, Xavier Castillo has the world at his fingertips. He also has no interest in taking over his family's empire, but that hasn't stopped women from throwing themselves at him. Unless, of course, the woman in question is his publicist. The cool, the intelligent, the ambitious Sloane Kensington, who is a high-powered publicist who's used to dealing with difficult clients, but none infuriate or tempt her more than a certain billionaire heir with his stupid dimples and laid-back attitude. She may be forced to work with him, but she'll never fall for him because he's a client and that's all he'll ever be, right? Right, girl, like we all know. So just in case you didn't know, author Anna Wong is the best-selling author and book talk viral author of the Twisted Love series, the King of Sin series. Miss Wong got it going on, okay? Make sure to check out King of Sloth by Anna Wong. And thanks again to Bloom Books for sponsoring this episode.
This episode is sponsored by The One That Got Away with Murder by Trish Lundy. Robbie and Trevor Cressmont have enough wealth to ensure they'll never be found guilty of any wrongdoing, even if everyone believes they're behind the deaths of their ex-girlfriends. Let us all take a collective angry sigh at that. Lauren O'Brien, the new girl at school, has a dark past of her own, and she's desperate for a fresh start. Except when she starts a relationship with Robbie, her chance is put in jeopardy. During what's meant to be their last weekend together, Lauren stumbles across evidence that might just implicate Robbie. And after a third death rocks the town, she must decide whether to end things with Robbie or risk becoming another cautionary tale. This is an edge-of-your-seat YA thriller that's perfect for fans of Karen McManus and Holly Jackson. Make sure you pick that up now wherever books are sold. And thank you once again to The One That Got Away with Murder by Trish Lundy for sponsoring today's show.
Okay, so Out of Body by Nia Davenport. So this is about 17-year-old Megan Allen, who, like many of us did in the past, and maybe many of us are currently, she's trying on different identities. Like, she doesn't know who she is yet. She jumps from friend group to friend group, just trying on these different personas to see what fits her. And then she meets this girl named LC, who is like adventurous and charismatic and just gives like that girl energy. You know that girl energy. She meets her in a coffee shop. She kind of just appears like magic. And so they become friends. And then on the night of their friendiversary, which I'm gonna start saying that word now, friendiversary. Okay. Our friendiversary. Okay. On that night, they bond, but then something happens. The next day, Megan wakes up to find that she is no longer Megan. She is put into Elsie's life. It's body swapping. She's been body swapped. Body got. Her body got. And now she's targeted by Elsie's enemies. Like, who knew this girl had enemies? It's this whole life she's thrust into unwillingly. And Elsie, as you might have guessed, has some secrets. And there's just a lot going on with Elsie. And it sounds like Elsie did Megan dirty. I haven't read this book yet, but I'm excited to. So make sure to be on the lookout for that. Brand new, hot off the presses. Out of Body by Nia Davenport. Okay, so for the rest of the books I'm going to talk about, they are going to be new historical fiction. I haven't read them all, but I'm really excited to. Historical fiction has consistently been one of my favorite genres to read. I've been reading it religiously, I guess I could say, consistently, very regularly since before I was within the YA category age range. So I really love it. I would say, I think I've probably said this on the show before, but I'll say it again. Historical fiction has been a way for me to learn about history in a more, I don't know, it's more interesting to learn about history through historical fiction. I think, you know, fiction, studies show that fiction encourages empathy. And I think when you read historical fiction, you can better experience what people went through back in the day, back in those days, back in the times that you're reading about, more so than reading about statistics and dates and things off of, or I should say out of a textbook. Both are good. Not knocking textbooks, of course. Those are needed as well. But I just really love learning about history through historical fiction. So first one I have up is by June Herr. So June Herr, if you're not familiar, writes a lot of historical fiction, YA, that takes place in a time and place that I really don't see anyone else writing about this time, which makes June Herr's book so special. And that is basically the Joseon period in Korea, which is like, I believe it was a 600 or 700 year period. Don't quote me on that. But it was a significant piece of time in Korea. So I love that she writes about these experiences that these teen girls have. So first book is A Crane Among Wolves by June Herr. It's out in May, and it's about 17-year-old Isol, who has to live under this tyrant king. His name is Yeon-san. But the thing is, like, he's absolutely terrible. He commandeers people's lands just for his, like, recreational use. He's just partying and taking people's livelihoods. He bans and burns books, which sounds familiar. Okay. And he's also really terrible to women and girls. So he kidnaps them, and he's very abusive and stuff like that. With that said, Isol kind of is sheltered from it. She lives a privileged life. Her family has money, and she's kind of out of the way. Like, she's not in the main city where her family lives. They're like out in the boondocks, but they're comfortable. So while all this stuff is going on amongst people who are closer to the king and in other areas, she's kind of protected. But then Soo-yeon, her sister, becomes the king's latest target, and he takes her. So she's like, you know, bump all this. I'm about to get my sister back. I don't care if it's the king or whoever. She stands on business as far as her sister is concerned. Okay. So she sets out to, quote unquote, steal her back. I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't like that phrasing, because her sister is a person. You can't steal people. But y'all get what I'm saying. So in order to get her sister back, she'll have to cross this forbidden territory. She'll have to reach the capital. But then there's someone else, you know, throw a little wrench into the scheme. It's not clear cut. There's this prince, Dayun, who is the half brother of the terrible tyrant king. And he also hates this man. He's like, I hate my brother. He ain't, you know, he's not doing what he needs to do. So he wants to dethrone his brother, but to stage a coup and fail could be quite lethal, as you might imagine. So he needs some help himself. So you see where I'm going with this. Isol, because her family is connected, they're wealthy. She has connections that could help arm Dayun in a struggle against his brother. The thing is, the two of them, low-key, kind of really don't like each other, but they need each other for their respective goals, which is setting the stage for what I think will be a delicious little romance. I do like a little, like, enemies to lovers. Like, that's like my little romance catnip, if you will. Because I love the little banter. I love the back and forth, the little spicy comments, the witty remarks. You know, I like a little shade. I like a little salt. I am excited about this. Like I said, I love reading about times and places that I'm really unfamiliar with. And so, yeah, I'm super excited for this one. Again, it's A Crane Among Wolves by June Herr. So next up, I have one that's out next week, actually. It's A Suffragist Guide to the Antarctic by Yishun Lai. And this is another really interesting one. So it reimagines the real life expedition to Antarctica that Sir Ernest Shackleton took in 1914. And it looks at how it would have been if a young woman was part of it. So I didn't know anything about a Sir Ernest Shackleton. Apparently he took these wild expeditions to very deadly places. So this one looks at a specific expedition that he took that ended up being really rough. So we follow a young woman, 18-year-old Clara Dunbar, who is one of only 28 people who make up the crew of a ship called the Resolute. So the Resolute is bound for Antarctica, as I mentioned, for an expedition, but it becomes marooned on ice like 100 miles from the continent. And honey, 100 miles from the continent is 1914. They can't catch a water Uber. Water Ubers don't even exist. Ubers don't even exist. So they're in a tight spot. They're between a rock and an iceberg. Da-doom-tsh. I'm here all night. JK. So anyway, a couple things about Clara. She's 18, like I said before, but she lied to other people and told them she was 21 because she doesn't want to be underestimated more than she already is. She doesn't want to be seen as like, oh, this little girl. She's already seen as a woman. That's bad enough. She's also told everyone that she's Canadian, even though she's American, because people aren't really feeling Americans right now because of what's going on with the Great War, or World War I, I should say. So another thing about Claire is that she's a fighter in more ways than one. She was fighting for women's equal rights when she was in England, and she has to fight for her survival alongside the rest of the crew, who, by the way, unsurprisingly, expect her to do quote unquote womanly things, but they're going to have to get some, they're going to have to get a new perspective on gender norms if they really want to survive, because Clara has some vital things to offer. And if they're going to survive, they're going to have to tap into everything at their disposal, including Clara's skill set. So it's interesting to think of how you would fare in these settings. I don't know if y'all ever think about, like, you see like zombie movies and stuff, and you're wondering like, how would I do during a zombie apocalypse? And I was just thinking with this book, I'm like, how would I do on a marooned ship in 100 miles from Antarctica? I don't know. I don't know if I would do, I don't know if I would be too hot out there. Like, I don't know if I would do too well. I don't think I would make it, if I'm being honest. But Clara is that girl, so she's gonna do what she has to do. And what's cool about this book is that it's a very realistic rendering of what would happen had there been a young woman named Clara. It does need a content warning though for assault or attempted assault, so heads up on that. Again, that is A Suffragist's Guide to the Antarctic by Yi Shun Lai. Last, I have This Ravenous Fate by Haley Dennings. It's out in August. This is the first in a duology that ticks off so many boxes for me. It's set in 1926 in Harlem and involves vampires called Reapers and a vampire hunting family. And so this vampire hunting family, because Reapers are such a nuisance, so deadly and lethal, and well, deadly and lethal mean the same thing. You know what I mean? They're a pain in the backside. So because of this, this family has attained more power in the city than even like crime lords, because of how important it is to kill Reapers, aka the vampires. That's what they call vampires in the story. So 18-year-old Elise Saint is part of that family, the Saint family. So she comes back home to Jazz Age Harlem, which is my favorite. Well, that's not my one of my favorite eras in Harlem history. I love Harlem history in general, so I just like Harlem. And the Jazz Age gives it a little like pizzazz. So she comes back home to Harlem after being in Paris for 5 years. Side note, but keep that 5 year timeline in mind. So she comes back and she is the heir to the Saint family empire, even though she doesn't super want to be, because like to be that would mean an entire city of vampires wants her dead, and she's not really into that. So, and then just to complicate things, to add a little more pizzazz, there's Leia Quinn, a young Reaper, aka vampire, who was just turned 5 years ago. 5 years, right? Keep that in mind. So she was just turned 5 years ago, and she doesn't really want to be a Reaper. I guess, like, who chooses it, really? Because becoming one was tied to losing her parents and the protection of the Saints family, and now she's become a sort of outcast. So there's this interesting history on the existence of Reapers. Apparently, they've existed for a few hundred years, and they first came into being because of the horrors of the New World and cruel experiments. So I'm interested to see how that's handled and how that is, how that contributes to the overall world building. So back to Layla. She gets framed for an attack by this weird kind of Reaper, one that can turn back into a human again. So this is like a new thing that Reapers, some Reapers are able to do. They're able to turn back into humans. And so the head of the Saint family offers her a deal to work with Elise and find out the source of the attacks, and maybe even if there is a cure for Reapers, like, overall. But get this, Elise and Layla hate each other because to Layla, Elise betrayed her, but they have to work together. So you see where this is going, you know? Tension, little tension, but forced proximity because they have to work together. You know, little spice, little, you know, contempt. Never hurt anyone. Actually, it did. I'm just being facetious. But you see where this is going. Anyway, I'm excited to read this one, and I think you should add it to the TBR pronto. So, yes, again, that is This Ravenous Fate by Haley Dennings. So, yes, friends, that is all I have today. These are some books that I've started and maybe not finished or haven't started yet, but I'm excited to because I really like historical fiction, one of my favorite genres to read. But yeah, so thanks so much for tuning in today, as well as our sponsor for making the day show possible. You can follow me on Twitter still. I'm there. Y'all can say hi. You can come and say hi. I'm at @Erica_EZE_. Big shout out to Caitlin Brame, our audio editor, for making me sound like a normal person. Appreciate you, girl. We'll see you next week on the main podcast, where I'll be joined by Tears of Price. Until next week, happy reading.